Live from the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Good morning and welcome to Hour 3 of the Todd Albaugh Show on the Civic Media Radio Network, wherever you're listening to us, whether that is WRCE in Richland Center, WXCO in Wausau, or WXCE in Amory, Wisconsin, or perhaps you've downloaded the Civic Media app on your smartphone, you've gone to other stations and scrolled down to WRCE News in the Center, and you've hit us there. So, or you could go to our Facebook page, the Todd Albaugh Show, on Twitter, at Albaugh Show, or the Civic Media page, website, which is civicmedia.us. All kinds of ways to find us, Aaron Zommers, on a Wednesday morning, correct?
Yeah, definitely. I know I use the app a lot of the time, especially if I'm driving home to Manitowoc and I want to listen to something, then I'm going to be going through a couple different coverage areas, so I might as well just use the app.
Right, exactly. Keep in touch. And thanks to Aaron today for doing the fine work on the board and getting all of our callers lined up earlier today and getting us on all those apps. So, you know, I've said I'm an analog guy living in a digital world. I'm trying to keep up with this. But Aaron's the guy that makes sure that we get on all these digital platforms along with Luke Mathers in our operation. So thanks, Luke, for keeping us on the air. And thank you, Aaron, for keeping us on the air each and every day, as well.
Well, definitely thanks to Luke. That's for sure.
It's a team effort. We were off the air a little bit yesterday. I came in and Aaron's on the ground and pulling out a burnt out adapter. What was it? The burnt.
It was a surge protector.
Oh, a surge protector. It protected, but the surge killed the surge protector.
Well, that's what it's there for, because it's a lot cheaper than whatever yes. else comes after.
All the thousands of dollars worth of equipment that could be taken out. We continue on a third hour. We welcome your phone calls wherever you are listening today, whether it is Richland County, Richland Center, or across the state of Wisconsin, or all over the world. We have some people in El Salvador that listen, in Texas, in Florida, in Colorado, California. So wherever you are tuning in today, we welcome you. Give us a call and tell us your thoughts on higher education, on the closure of the Richland campus, or anything else that's on your mind. Toll free. The area code to dial is 715-388-7155. Again, 715-388-7155. Give us a call and tell us what's on your mind. If you want to lighten it up, that's fine too. If you want to just talk to us about what you're having for Thanksgiving dinner, we can do that as well. But before we do that, we're going to give you the headlines and what you need to know on this Wednesday, the 23rd of November, 2022, at this hour. Just breaking over the past half hour or so, State Senator Alberta Darling has decided to retire from the State Senate. She has been there since 1992. She has announced that she will step down, and which will mean a special election for Senator Darling's seat. Also at this hour, besides the announcement of the closure of UW-Richland after this academic year, making news across the country otherwise, at least 6 are dead and 4 are injured. And additionally, the gunman apparently killed himself in another mass shooting last night, this time at a Walmart in Chesapeake, Virginia. The U.S. Supreme Court tells former President Donald Trump, sorry, not going to happen. They refused to intervene, which means that the IRS must now release his tax records to the House committee investigating the former president. 55 million people will travel this holiday weekend. If you're one of them, do so carefully. That, according to the AAA, looks like nice weather across the state. Perhaps some drizzle and a little bit of snow around Amory and that area. But otherwise, in the southern part of the state, sunny skies and temperatures in the 40s. Dr. Anthony Fauci, in what could be his final briefing before he steps down as president, as the president's medical advisor, that is, he pleads with everyone to please get their shots, their updated booster shots for COVID-19 over the next 6 weeks before the holiday season begins, particularly those who are elderly or senior citizens or compromised immune systems. I had an interesting discussion about about this, not about COVID so much, but about what constitutes an elderly person or senior citizen with my stepmom, Mary, up in Shawnee here a while back, because somebody during the election, a canvasser came to their door, and my stepmother looks fantastic. She got a knee replacement a few years ago. She gets around. She's in great health. She's does great. And looked at her. She happens to have white hair, but, you know, good gosh, I'm in my 50s. I'm getting grayish white. And she says to my stepmother, she says, well, you know, we want to make sure we take care of the, it was either the elderly or senior citizens like you. Elderly is what she said, elderly. And, you know, kind of struck, this woman was probably in her 20s. And I'm sure to her it looked like she was elderly. But when I think of elderly, I think of somebody who's homebound, who physically can't get around or is suffering from something like dementia or Alzheimer's. You know, I don't know. It's just a term. I think age is a number. I think it's, you know, if you can get around and you're living life, you're not elderly. Forget about the number. Forget about the birthday. So if you are a person who is older, we'll simply say that, or you have a compromised immune system, make sure you get your COVID booster. I'm due for mine. I probably won't get it today, but hopefully next week I will get my fourth booster shot. And if you're watching on Facebook, I have my Brady Ewing Wisconsin football jersey on because it's Axe Week. Wisconsin Badgers take on the PJ Flexters 2:30 on Saturday. Back with more, hopefully, your calls after this. You're listening to the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network.
And the cattle graze.
So very true.
Time flies with amazing grace. Back where I come from.
Back where I come from. That's Kenny Chesney for you on the Todd Allball Show for a Wednesday, the day before Thanksgiving. I'm actually going to be back at the RSC this weekend to celebrate Thanksgiving with the family. Looking forward to that. And talked to Mom last night, and apparently she already has the pies baked. An apple pie with fantastic apples. I'm not sure if they're still open yet or not. They usually have closed down around Thanksgiving. But if they're still open, check them out. Oakwood Fruit Farm in Richland Center, a great sponsor of WRCE, WRCO. Best apples in the world, best caramel apples in the world. I'm biased, I'll admit, but they are. So Oakwood Fruit Farm, Mom has some apples there. She has an apple pie for Thanksgiving. I think we're going to do a pumpkin pie. So should be a good time back in the RC. And you're headed back to Manitowoc, right, Aaron?
Yep, I am. And I have no idea if pies are already made, but if they're not, then I'll help out with that when I get home.
See, what a good son you are. What a great guy. Do you like to cook?
Yeah, some. I like to do it when I very often think, oh man, I'm going to have to cook. This is going to be such a huge thing. And then I do it and I enjoy it.
Yeah, I find it relaxing most of the time. If I'm under a pressure, then maybe not so much, but I enjoy cooking. So, always enjoy the holidays back at Richland Center. And as I said before, we're hoping to take the show out to Richland Center next week and have a roundtable discussion on the announced closing of UW-Richland, the branch campus of UW-Platteville. We'll kind of button this subject up, at least for today. And I know I've gone on a long time about it, but it is the biggest news to come out of Richland County in a very, very long time. Just because of the impact it's going to have if it follows through and happens on the community. And I'm not a huge Facebooker, but I've had to kind of go back on because of the show. I want to promote the show, and I get that. I was kind of scrolling through some of the Facebook comments today from people out in Richland Center that I know, and this is the talk of the town. Because it's so many people are writing online today about the degrees that they got, the associate degrees, the continuing education. They had kids, maybe they got divorced, they went back to school, they got their associates, perhaps they went on to get a four-year degree, probably at Platteville, or they used that associate to get a job right away. The University of Wisconsin-Richland has had a deep impact on people for over 50 years. 50 years. It has literally been a part of my life since I was born because of my grandmother, Marge Wallace, who helped found and build that campus and then became the first woman to be a dean in the state of Wisconsin at UW Richland. She loved to tell a story. I think it was 4 or 5, probably coming home from kindergarten or first grade, probably 5, maybe 6. Doesn't matter. And I was coming home. I was walking across the footbridge from Jefferson Elementary, and my mom had stepped out of the house for like 5 minutes. She wasn't that far away, but I couldn't find her. And so as a kid, the first thing I knew was my grandma was at the campus. She was the dean. So I put on my coat. It was kind of maybe this, it was early. It wasn't this cold. And so the campus from my house back then was probably a little over a quarter of a mile. And I walked down the hill at West Side Drive and walked to the campus and went up to Vicki Alaback, who was her assistant at the time. And I said, is grandma here? And she said, yes. And my grandma came out. She said, what are you doing here? I said, I couldn't find mom, but I knew where grandma was. She was at the campus taking care of things. I was lucky she was there. And so I ended up going to the dean's office and playing. And of course, my mother came and felt terrible. And she's like, oh my gosh, I just stepped away for 5 minutes. And my grandma got a big kick out of that. And she told that story until the day she died at 96. But the point is, my grandmother was there. My dad ended up being an athletic director and the wrestling coach there for several years. I went to school there. My sister went to school there. Our family is absolutely attached to that campus. And I don't love the campus just because of my grandmother's involvement. And let me just say, there are several other people in Richland County that made that campus happen. And I named some of the elected officials. People that set the stage earlier, like Jess Miller, State Senator Jess Miller for higher education. People like Milford Kintz. There were people like Katie Morrison, a Democrat state senator. Dick Kruel, who was a Republican state senator. Dale Schultz, a Republican state senator. David Brandemule, a Republican representative. As Linda Gentis pointed out earlier, county board supervisor, who used to be the former, or who used to be the lead person for the international program. The CASP, the Central American Student Scholarship Program, was first introduced and funded by then Republican U.S. Senator Bob Caston from Wisconsin. So there were so many people on the county board and the city, businesses, Rollin and Madeline McCauley, who they were paid for their farm, but basically gave up their farm for the land for that campus to be built on. It has hosted high school programs. It has hosted fine arts programs, science programs. There are people all over the state, all over this country, all over this world whose lives would be different today if not for UW-Richland. And everyone who's ever taught there or been an administrator or a faculty member can take great pride today in what that campus has accomplished over 50 years. I am emotional, and I am biased on this subject. I will freely admit that because of my history at that campus and because I also went to UW-Platteville. But we're going to continue to use this platform and this show to A, point out what happened in the hopes that it doesn't repeat itself. We're going to use this show to try to have a round table to see if there's any way that we can get the system or legislators to reverse this decision. And we're also going to use this program, if we have to move forward and find out what can be done next. What can the facilities at UW-Richland be used for, as Marty Brewer pointed out earlier? How can we have something new that's different, but still advances the cause of education for the community, advances the cause of economic development for the community? So those are all things we're going to talk about in the future. And as I want to keep reminding you who don't live in Southwest Wisconsin, the reason this is important to you is because we have campuses all across the state in places like UW-Barron County, which is in the listing area in Amory, up by Rice Lake. We have two-year colleges at UW-Marathon County, Wausau, where we're on the air. UW-Marshfield in Wood County, where we're on the air. And this network has 13 stations that covers the majority of the state of Wisconsin, and it's growing every day, by the way. So we're in places like Oshkosh, in Waukesha, in Madison. We're going to be in Green Bay. We cover all those areas. And part of this, when I say at the top of the show or when Terry Barr introduces this and it says, pursuing the truth wherever it may lead, that is one of the missions of this show. Not to be mean or negative all the time. That's not the point. The point is, for too long, too many people have been getting away with things, particularly in the legislature and at places like UW system, without being called on it. And it's always happy news, and that's fine sometimes. But there comes a point when people have to understand why things happen. And I will tell you without a doubt, because I was in the room where it happened, as they say in Hamilton, that the actions of yesterday, the announcement of Richland campus closing, was not due to failures at the local level. It was state legislators, predominantly Howard Markline, who have ignored the campus financial needs. And it was a former chancellor in Dennis Shields who ignored the needs of UW-Richland. It was a system that largely ignored the needs of UW-Richland. Tommy Thompson was president, former governor was president of the system. At least he came out. He was already announced that he was going to leave the presidency when he came to Richland, but at least he was there. And he listened, but he was on his way out. Dennis Shields was on his way out, the former chancellor. So none of those people were really in a position to do anything. I'm not excusing their inactions. I'm just saying by the time they got there, it was pretty much done. But they didn't really listen up until that point. So when you hear all these reports and things coming out of the system that, well, you know, you have to pull your weight, you have to has to be profitable. Yes, that's true. But guess what else? You have to be funded. You have to be given the tools to be successful. And Scott Klug, my former boss, used to say, Todd, the best indication of someone's future performance is their past performance. The best indication of someone's future performance is their past performance. And when fully funded, and when they had the correct staffing, a recruiter, a dean, marketers, UW-Richland was one of the best and most profitable two-year campuses in the state. But when those tools were taken away, that's when things started falling apart. So you need to understand the context of why these things happen. You also need to understand that there are wonderful people in Richland County who are doing wonderful things to have tried to save it, and will continue on. So the point is, if you're listening to us outside of Southwest Wisconsin, in these areas that I mentioned, and you have a two-year campus or a four-year campus, hold your local elected officials, meaning your state senator and your state representatives, accountable. Go to listening sessions. Write letters. Ask them pointed questions. Go to the Wisconsin Counties Association website, like I did last night, and see if your county, like Richland County, has a resolution written and approved and on the books saying, hey, guys, gals, you have cut our funding 23, 24, 25% for our campus. Hey, guys, gals, in the Republican legislature, you have cut our shared revenue funding to the point where we now have to go to a local referendum just to fund the right amount of law enforcement vehicles to keep our local community safe. And don't stand and pose for holy pictures, Republicans, in front of yard signs that say, we back the badge. We back the badge. Republicans love to say that. We back the badge. Well, do you? Because when you cut shared revenue and you don't fund your local police department, when you don't fund your local sheriff's department, you are not backing the badge. You are putting the great law enforcement people, the men and women who are on the front lines, you are putting their lives at risk so you can score political points. And that's a load of crap. So quit saying, Republican, that you back the badge when you cut local aid time and time and time again. I am sick of it. And we're going to call you on the carpet every time that you do moving forward. We'll be back with more on the Todd Allenball Show. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. Celebration on the Todd Allenball Show for a Wednesday before Thanksgiving. On the Civic Media Radio Network, we appreciate you tuning in. It is time to celebrate, right? Hopefully, you'll have plans tomorrow for Thanksgiving with friends and family. Perhaps you're going to a local a community get-together. A lot of churches, a lot of community centers have a Thanksgiving Day dinner in our listening areas across the state. Some of them just giving the food away for free, some asking for freewill donations. Those are great folks and make a lot of people happy, because if you are alone on Thanksgiving, it can be a really tough holiday and not something that's particularly enjoyable. We will be here, though, if you want to tune us in tomorrow on Thanksgiving Day from 8 until 11. We will kind of do a little bit of a live-ish show, as Aaron and I will be with you via the magic of videotape. Actually, not really tape anymore. It's all digital. But we'll be pre-recorded for the first half hour and kind of focus on a few things for Thanksgiving. And then we'll record, we'll give you some of the best ofs. We've only been here a couple of weeks, but well, there's been some best ofs already. Kira Sabin, extraordinary life coach, will be with us tomorrow. And if you're on your way to a relative's house and think, how am I going to do this? Because I don't agree with these people. Listen to Kira tomorrow. We'll have her up probably first thing at 8:30, and she will tell you all about setting boundaries for Thanksgiving and how to survive the holidays. And then on Good Friday, we will have our friend Jason in from Dane Buy Local, and he will be with us to talk to us about buying local for Black Friday, perhaps instead of going to all the big box stores. So that'll be fun as well to have Jason in with us on Friday night. I'm actually going to be on Jason's program. He has two programs, not only Dayton by Local, but he also has a program focusing on the Green Bay Packers with his brother. Apparently, his brother is not able to join, so Jason has asked me to be on the big show. So I'll be coming to you live from Richland Center, the RC, on Jason's program on Friday night. Is that at 7 o'clock, Aaron? Do you know?
Yes, it is from 7 to 8 p.m.
7 to 8 p.m. right here across, I think, it's the entire network, right? So no matter where you live.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yes, yes. So that's on the entire network on Friday night, you can hear Jason and I talking about Green Bay Packers football. Jason, of course, the expert. I'm just the average fan. Back when I went to school at UW-Platteville, one of the great things was I got to be for 3 years the main color commentator for Pioneer Sports with my friend and a broadcasting partner, Kevin O'Connor. And Kevin was a brilliant broadcaster, still is, and new sports. And so we'd have promotions for the games where Kevin was the play-by-play guy and I was the color commentator. And it would say, one of these two guys knows Pioneer Sports like the back of his hand. We just hope the other guy can find his way to the stadium. That was me. So a fun time will be had by all on Friday night, 7 to 8, right here on the Civic Media Network, as Jason and I, the expert, and I discuss Green Bay Packer football. If you're getting together with family this weekend or with friends, if you're having a Friendsgiving, perhaps, it might be a good idea to do a little board gaming. And we bring in our fabulous producer and engineer, Aaron Zommers, with this week's board game. Mr. Zommers, what do you know?
Don't let difficult political conversations derail your family gathering this Thanksgiving. Here's the board game of the week.
So that was fantastic.
Thank you.
That was exactly what I want more of. That was fantastic.
Okay,
go ahead.
Perfect. Then I will definitely to keep doing that. But yeah, so this week, I'm recommending another one that's pretty common, just trying to go with some of the base level board games that are still beyond your Monopolies, your Sorry,
hitherto unknown board games.
Yes.
Perhaps. That's why Ken Lewis, my old social studies teacher, would say hitherto unknown board games with Aaron Zommers. Go ahead.
There we go. Maybe we can call it that. But so this time I'd like to recommend Ticket to Ride, which can find pretty much anywhere at this point. Now I think like Walmart's, Target's carry it. Again, I still recommend going to a local game store.
Sure.
But this game you can expect to pay $30 to $40. Definitely more like $30 right now. Uh-huh. With all the sales. So this game is another great one to play with the family. Each player has a bunch of train cards and little plastic trains, and you have a big map of the U.S. You can also get it with other countries, but the base game is the U.S. And you have goals of, let's say, I get a card that says, I want to construct a railway from New York to Texas.
Right.
Or from, you might have a shorter one that's worth less points, like from California to, I don't know, Washington.
All right.
And you get, basically, you're just trying to make either the longest railway, trying to get your goals, and just create different tracks throughout the country. And it's nice because it is a competitive game, but not one where there's a lot of opportunities to directly hurt other people.
All right.
I know sometimes in family games that can be a point of contention.
My youngest niece, Isabel, she is a gamer. Let me tell you, a board gamer, a card gamer, and she is ruthless. It doesn't matter whether you're Uncle Todd or not, you are going down.
Yep, definitely some people like that. I know, I can't lie, I do that sometimes with my family. Not always, but there are a couple of spots on the board where there's only one big railway for a certain path and more than one person might need it. So sometimes there can be some of those gotcha moments, but it's not constant like in some games.
All right. So it's more like just building. So what's the strategy? What's the name of the game again?
Ticket to Ride.
Ticket to Ride. And so what's the strategy here to win this game?
Well, you want to get the most points, and points are gathered by, number one, just creating train tracks, laying out railways. It's just measured in how many cars it takes up.
All right.
And you get more points for bigger ones.
Do you earn cards like by a roll of the dice or?
You have, each player has a hand of cards of different color trains. So like there's pink, blue, green, and so on. And on the board, there are railways that are, let's say, 5 cars long, but they all have to be pink. So you'll get your cards, you'll save them up. There's a board in the middle of face up cards and then a deck of face down. You can either take from the middle face up or play your luck and take from the top of the deck. But you just need to have enough cards of the same color train in order to choose to claim a railway on the board.
Got it. Okay. And now here's a question. Ticket to Ride, board game of the week by Aaron Zommers. Will it be affected with a pending rail strike across the U.S.? If there's a strike, can you still play this game?
I think so. I'm pretty sure.
No, that sounds fantastic. See, sounds like a really cool game. As you said, get together with everyone. Not a lot of meanness involved, and you know, a fun time is had by all.
Yeah, and it's pretty easy. You can play it with all ages. And I mean, even like my 4-year-old niece has played it with us before. Now she's been on someone's team,
right?
But it's an easy one to do that with because you can be like, well, what color do you think we should get? What about this one? Are we trying to get that? Mm-hmm. And it's really easy to direct those questions to get little kids to play.
That's great. So you can even use it potentially to, if you pair them up with an older person, you can help a younger child learn their colors over the holiday.
Yeah, that's true.
So, and build trains all across America or whatever country you choose. A Ticket to Ride is the name of the game. And we're looking at around $30 to $40, says Mr. Zommers. So, check that board game out and play it with your family. Again, whether you're having a Friendsgiving with just friends or whether you're having a family Thanksgiving, whatever it may be, use this time to pause and reflect. Another great teacher I had, Andy Spees from middle school, he used to twirl his wooden pointer that he used in math class. And Mr. Spees, he is a black belt. And he kind of like, he just let his body kind of relax, and he'd be like, you know, remember, math is in life. Pause and reflect. Pause and reflect. I use that quote all the time from Andy Spies. So thank you, Mr. Spies, for that Zen moment. Great advice. Math is in life. Pause, reflect. Do some reflecting this holiday weekend, if you can. It is coming up on 10:42, and we go to the phones. Ryan from Richland Center. Welcome, Ryan. How are you doing today? Go ahead.
Yeah, happy Thanksgiving to you guys as well.
Thank you.
So just wanted to talk a little bit about UW-Richland. As you mentioned, it was being someone born and raised in Richland Center myself, I went to the campus. I got to, I think, experience kind of the last hoorah, per se. I went from 2009 to 2011, and at that time, the campus, we were actually over capacity. The dorms had a waiting list, and like you mentioned, it was one of the, I would, for the size of the two-year school, one of the strongest in the state. But when the legislator changed hands, and I got to see it firsthand as being on the Alumni Association board, mm-hmm. when they went to the regionalization model, that really put the stamp on it, I think, for UW-Richland, because they really took that the hardest, in my opinion, as one of the smallest schools. We lost that personalization that really, I think, was appealing to a lot of students in the area. And then we saw a lot of them switch and go to another great institution just down the road in Fenmore in Southwest Tech. Mm. But they were really that model that what UW-Richland was, because we lost those personalization of individual people that you could go to. I looked to John Poole, Lisa Bailing, a lot of the instructors at the time, Norlene Emerson, in the science departments, just people like that that I'm still in contact with today. And we saw that lose as things changed with the campus, and we went to the regionalization model. And then once the 4 years took over, you didn't have that personal connection. You didn't have that recruiter specifically for Richland anymore.
I really appreciate you calling in, Ryan. Cause so you were there literally at the time as a student during the switch over to the more regionalized model. What kind of day-to-day things, besides maybe not the recruiter, what day-to-day things did you see change?
Yeah, so I wasn't specifically there as a student. So okay. I got to be there as a student at the peak. We didn't have enough parking stalls for cars.
Wow.
When I was there. if you had an early class, you got a parking stall. If you had a later in the afternoon class, you were parking in the grass.
And what year was that?
So I was there from 2009 to 2011.
All right.
And then I was on the Alumni Association board.
Got it.
So then I went to Platteville for two more years. But then I got nominated to be on the association board. And that's when, I think it was 2012 or 13 when that announcement came, somewhere in that time frame. I was just on the board. And we were talking about it then, just how much it was going to impact our campus specifically, because just how well the recruiting was with our campus. We had the highest population of international students as well out of any two-year campus in the state. At the time, we had 25 exchange students. So percentage-wise, it was the highest in the state at the time as well.
Wow. And now,
from my understanding, I think it's less than 60 students are currently
enrolled. Yeah, around 60 is what the current enrollment is. We just have about a minute and a half or so left, Ryan. I appreciate you calling in. But for your perspective, what do you think the future holds? As someone who went there on the Alumni Association, who finished up at Platteville, what do you think the future holds for the Richland campus and the community in that regard?
Yeah, that's tough. My hope is that... you know, this is just a hope at this point that, you know, something is able to be maybe done on a wing and a prayer that something is saved. But my hope is that maybe something else could take its place potentially. Mm. That would be pretty tough. The dorms are still kind of there. They were bought out, but they're kind of used for housing and then somewhat dorms. Mm-hmm. That was also another big thing. They actually expanded onto the dorms because we had such a high enrollment. And then basically the rug was pulled, you know, I feel like, you know, to these two-year schools,
right,
and specifically Richland, that with the dorms.
Ryan, we appreciate you calling in. We got to go. Our time is up. But thank you very much for calling in. Have a great Thanksgiving. We'll talk to you later. Thank you, Aaron, for all your work today. And thank you all for listening. Have a happy Thanksgiving. I'm Todd Allball. Make it a great day in Southwest Wisconsin. Welcome back to the Todd Allball Show. Somebody pour me a drink. It's 5 o'clock somewhere, right? It's actually 10:50 right now on the Civic Media Radio Network, wherever you are listening to us, whether it's WRCE in Richland Center, WXCO in Wausau, or WXCE in Amory. Make it a great day. It's going to be in the low 40s and mostly sunny across the state of Wisconsin, perhaps up in Amory, just a bit cooler with some patchy fog and drizzle. Tomorrow, Thanksgiving, looks like we could all get a little bit of drizzle, especially if our noses are running after the meal. Anyway, perhaps a little bit of snow up by Amory in northern Wisconsin. Otherwise, Wausau, Richland Center, and the points kind of south of Wausau, just some light rain perhaps, but highs in the upper 30s to mid-40s. So a pretty nice Thanksgiving overall. We appreciate Ryan from Richland Center calling in before the break. I was so into the call. And Aaron is so on top of things. He was giving me the time cues, the hand signals. And I thought, well, 30 seconds left of the show. And I got caught up in the call. And I'm like, my time is out. And I'm like, so that's why I said goodbye. And then we got in the break. And Aaron's like, we actually have one more segment. I'm like, oh, geez. And then he played that sound effect from The Price is Right, the loser sound effect. And I thought we were coming back on the air. So I started doing this segment. And Aaron's like, actually, we're still in commercial break.
Yeah, I was just doing it as a goof, but there we are.
You understand? That's my state of mind right now. That's the kind of morning I've had. I was up to like 1 o'clock this morning, kind of trying to get ready for the show today, but also a couple other projects we're working on here at the station. So I'm working on about 4.5 hours sleep today. So I'm a little punch drunk. You understand? Todd could use a drink right now. I'm not gonna go have one. But you know, I could use a mimosa. I'll be honest. I could go for that. But
that'd be pretty nice.
Yeah. Right. Maybe I've got to. So we're gonna wrap up the show and then finish up here at the office today. Then I'll be making my way out to the RC. And I may enjoy a beverage tonight sitting in Richland Center. We'll see. So we welcome you back to our final little segment here. If you want to call into this craziness, give us a call, 715-388-7155. 715-388-7155. Your winning lotto number to talk to a half-lucid Todd and a completely lucid Aaron. He will take your calls off the air. I've said this before, one of my favorite hosts over the years in any medium was Craig Ferguson on The Late Late Show, originally from Scotland and became a U.S. citizen through naturalization. He liked to end the show with a little segment he called, What Have We Learned? What have we learned here today? So, I don't know, Aaron, what have we learned? I've learned today that there are some great folks that I always have known in Richland Center, in Richland County, who have worked very hard to keep that campus going, and who still have fight left in them, and who are going to work as hard as they can to see if there's any way yet to save the campus. And we're going to try to take the show on the road and be in Richland Center next week and have a roundtable discussion. I've learned that there are some great folks there who are going to continue to work hard, even if it's beyond control at the campus, to keep them going and see what's next. I've also learned about a wonderful board game from my friend Aaron Zommers. And that was fun. What have you learned, Aaron?
Let's see. Well, I've definitely learned that despite what it looks like now, Richland Center did have a time where they ran out of parking stalls.
Yes, right?
Which, that's cool to hear. It's a good problem to have.
And Ryan, pardon me, a little frog in the throat. but Ryan, that's a real life, that puts it into context, right? That's how successful, as recently as 2011, 2012, the campus was, at Richland Center, they couldn't even have enough parking stalls. And believe me, it's not a small parking lot. All right? Had over 500 students there enrolled as recently as 2014. And then the funding was cut, and here we are today at the closure. We'll keep talking more about this issue, more about how each community that has a higher education institution in it should be concerned, because you could be next. You could be next. What's next for the University of Wisconsin Badger football team is getting the axe back. And I am dressed in my number 34 Brady Ewing UW football jersey for luck. And I feel that they're going to bring it home. I think they're going to win it for Jim Leonard, who, in case you haven't heard, UW AD Chris McIntosh posted the job for head coach of the Badger football team last Saturday. So I believe, according to protocol, it has to be posted for 7 days, pardon me, before it can be filled. So they could call a press conference as soon as Saturday night, I guess, after the game, probably more likely on Sunday or Monday. But I think the team is going to go out and want to win this for Jim Leonard. Honestly, I think they're going to go out and try to win it for Paul Christ. And I think they're going to try to win it for themselves and for the fans. It has been a rough season for the Badger football team for numerous reasons. But I think they deserve a lot of credit for persevering, not giving up, bowl eligible, continue the streak of bowl games for 21 seasons. That is intact. And I think they're on the right course. So let's hope that Jim Leonard gets named the head coach here over the Thanksgiving Day holiday. We can come back on Monday and perhaps celebrate that. Also, if you're a Wisconsin Badger basketball fan, the Badgers are in the Battle for Atlantis, Paradise Island in the Bahamas, and they'll be playing this afternoon at 1:30. You can catch that game right here on WRCE 1450 on the AM side or 107.7 on the FM side. Other stations in the Civic Media Radio Network also carry the game on Learfield Sports Network, so check your local listings, as they say, on your radio station. If you can't listen to it on the radio, you can dial it in on TV on ESPN today at 1:30. The Badgers taking on Dayton in the Battle for Atlantis. I saw them once at the Fieldhouse against Green Bay Fieldhouse. Why do I say that? At the Kohl Center, and went with Jeff Daniels, and they looked fantastic. I'm going to say they looked fantastic for their experience to date. I was pleasantly surprised. I like the way they play together. I like the way they move the ball. They got some shooters on the team, so I'm looking forward to the Badger basketball season as well. So a lot going on sports-wise if you're a Wisconsin Badger fan this weekend, and a lot going on around our state. Aaron, I appreciate everything that you've done this week. Thanks for all of your help, and have a great and happy and safe Thanksgiving.
Yeah, you too.
Thank you very much. And wherever you are around the state of Wisconsin, these are hard issues that we talked about today. Funding for our local communities, funding for our university campuses. Things might not seem real great if you're at Richland Center today, but don't give up. My Grandma Marge, the dean there, she never gave up. She came from a dirt poor family. Her father didn't even believe in educating kids, and she became the first woman to be a dean in the state of Wisconsin. She never gave up, and neither are we. So make it a happy Thanksgiving wherever you are. Have a wonderful day. And remember, keep banging on your drum. Our day will come. You've been listening to the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. Keep banging.
Banging on your drum. Keep banging on, and your day will come.